This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello and welcome to The Stand with Eamon Dunphy. Yesterday, after hearing evidence for 52 days, the Special Criminal Court announced that it would deliver its judgment on the trial of Jerry Hutch and two of his alleged associates, Jason Bonney and David Byrne. The verdict would be delivered on April 17th, although the presiding judge, Ms. Justice Tara Burns, did say that if they had a judgment before that, they would announce it before then. We're joined now by Sean Murray, who has been covering the case for his paper, The Irish Examiner. Sean, this has been a long case in many ways. Jerry the Monk Hutch is the principal figure, but there are two co-accused who are alleged to have helped in various ways. The closing arguments from all of the defendants, senior counsel, in the case of Mr. Bonney, John Fitzgerald, senior counsel, and in the case of Paul Murphy, Bernard Condon, senior counsel, both of the lawyers involved for those two men said that the evidence was less than compelling. Thin and light was one phrase used, and the other phrase used by Bernard Condon, senior counsel, alleged that the prosecution case had offered broad brushstroke of propositions and assertions not supported by evidence. And, of course, Brendan Gren, defence senior counsel for Jerry Hutch, had his own say in his closing argument. Sean, as this case progressed, I understand the courtroom was packed most of the time, including, I think, the mother and father of David Byrne, the deceased man, were there. It's been a very, very high-profile and tense atmosphere case and a tense atmosphere in the courtroom.
Yes, absolutely. As you said, it's gone on for 52 days. We've heard really in-depth evidence on various different aspects of the case. It's gone into the minutiae of CCTV, of phone records, of the infamous tapes that we've all heard of obviously the star witness, Jonathan Dowdle. It's been twisting and it's been turning and it's finally drawn to a close. As you say, it's always been tense in the courtroom. We're talking about what the prosecution referred to yesterday as a brutal and callous execution of David Byrne in the Regency Hotel. The court got to see CCTV of that murder actually happening,
yes,
which was a particularly grim day of evidence. And there's so much at stake. Jerry the Monk Hutch is on trial for murder. He faces a mandatory life sentence if found guilty. And the other two guys, Jason Bonney and Paul Murphy, could potentially face a serious jail time if they're found guilty of aiding and abetting a criminal gang of carrying out this murder, namely by making cars available. So there's a huge amount at stake, obviously, for the Byrne family. They would want to see justice for their beloved.
Of course.
Of course, as well. So everything was on the line. Everything was at stake. And this week was the last chance for both the prosecution and the defense teams to set out their stalls, as it were, and the phrase oft heard in these kind of cases, beyond reasonable doubt, was heard numerous times. From the prosecution's case, they feel they've proven their case beyond reasonable doubt. And then on the other hand, the defense is saying, no, you haven't. John Fitzgerald referred to as a thin or light case against his client. And Brendan Grehan, I couldn't count the amount of times he called Jonathan Dowdle a liar in his closing statement. So it was dramatic, a very dramatic end to what's been a dramatic case, I think, this week.
Yes, Jonathan Dowdle is a key figure, a former Sinn Féin councillor, and the person who is really the definitive prosecution witness in that. He claims that Jerry de Monk Hutch admitted to him that he had been the murderer, which seems questionable if you're an experienced criminal to be going around telling somebody that you did it. He was on the stand for 8 days. He also went on a long car journey with Jerry de Monk Hutch to the north. And during the course of that, the police had bugged the car and there was a long series of conversations. And also, there's a reference by Jerry Hutch to three yokes in the back of the car. The yokes are supposed to be the guns that were used to commit the attack and indeed to murder David Byrne. So during the 8 days, it appears that Brendan Grehan, who's senior counsel for Jerry Hutch, gave Dowdle a rather hard time.
Yeah, indeed. It was a grueling 8 days of evidence from Jonathan Dowdle, where his past actions, his past words were poured over in such minute detail by Brendan Grehan. And Grehan referenced Dowdle so many times in his closing statement about how he would highlight inconsistencies in either what he was saying now or what he had said before. He made the curious remark that, "I'm not going to go to town on him." And then he called him a proven and admitted liar and perjurer. So it was very much, he went for him, shall we say.
He made the point, Sean, didn't he, that he was a liar and a perjurer and had perjured himself during the course of this trial.
Yes, absolutely. There were a few different facets where Grehan kept returning to. He said that there were two big lies in the case. The first that he accused Dowdle of lying about is meeting Jared Hutch the night before the Regency Hotel murder.
Yes.
And giving to him a key card for a hotel room in the Regency that was used by one of the gunmen, the man in the flat cap, the now deceased Kevin Murray. That's one of Dowdle's central allegations. And the next one, which you've already referenced, is meeting him in a park just a few days after the murder, where Hutch is alleged to have admitted being one of the men who shot Byrne. And it's obviously such a central, crucial plank of the prosecution's case at this stage.
And doesn't appear to be any evidence, or is there, Sean, from the CCTV footage that identifies Jerry Hutch as the person who murdered David Byrne, and that footage was shown to the court. Was it possible to identify? Because I think Mr. Grehan says it's impossible to identify Jerry Hutch from that CCTV.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the prosecution's case that Hutch was one of the men who was wearing the Garda tactical gear. Now, if people might have seen, there's a few famous photos of the day where there were three men dressed in these kind of coveralls where you couldn't see their face. You could only see the outfits that they had on and the fact that they were carrying the guns. Now, the prosecution is alleging that Jared Hutch was one of those men. So obviously, if the face is covered, you're not going to see who that is. Crucially as well, Brendan Grehan pointed out that there's no CCTV evidence linking Hutch to the murder on the day. There is no phone evidence. And there's no forensic evidence linking Hutch to the murder on the day as well.
Yes.
What they're relying on instead is what Grehan described as they're trying to ride two horses. There's Dowdle's evidence and what he says he was told. And then there's also what is said on the tapes, which that very long journey that they did up north, 10 hours, roughly 8 hours of audio of that conversation. And the prosecution made reference to some tacit admissions that they say Hutch made on those tapes that show that he was the man in charge of the guns and also that he was one of the men responsible for the murder in their case.
Now, during the course of that long car journey, a good proportion of it was in the north. And the fact that a bug placed in a car travelling from the Republic to Northern Ireland, whatever evidence is garnered by that bug in the north of Ireland is inadmissible. And that played out, didn't it? Because the presiding judge, Justice Tara Burns, she said that while she accepted the argument that it was illegal, she was still going to admit it. What's going to happen to that issue? Is there any way of adjudicating on that question of whether evidence gathered illegally can be admissible in a trial like this in the Special Criminal Court?
I think the ship has sailed very much on that question. When it arose, the judges had to make a ruling on it because there was a submission not to make the tapes admissible. And the judges went off and made their decision. And as you say, Tara Burns came back and said, while the evidence was gathered illegally, they accepted that there was no malafides on the part of the Gardaí, and they accepted it as part of the evidence to admit it. So when they're now, as of yesterday, as of today, they're going to make their judgment in the case, and everything that's said on those tapes is available to the judges. There's no part of it that's excluded, and they can read the inferences that they want to in those tapes, and the prosecution is inviting them to draw the inference that Jared Hutch makes admissions to his own guilt on those tapes. And obviously, on the other hand, Gretton is saying that no one would be able to listen to the tapes and decide that or conclude that Jared Hutch is saying that he was involved in the Regency.
Yes. And I mean, some people have said that if this were a jury trial, that at the point where the evidence presented was deemed to be illegally acquired, there may well have been a collapsed case.
It obviously, now that we're in the Special Criminal Court, it's impossible to say what may have happened in that case. But I do think the specific nature of the Special Criminal Court, we know that there's the conviction rate is quite high in these cases that come before the Special Criminal Court.
Yes.
It's a three-judge court. There's no jury. Obviously, it was established by the government for very specific reasons. There's no way of knowing how it would have gone, but I feel like no matter what way the verdicts go, I feel like, and I think we've said it a few times before, that there'll be serious questions asked of how the court operates, I think, in the aftermath of this, just given the complexity of the case and the kind of issues that have been teased out and examined during it. I feel that's a conversation that will definitely be happening after the case is over.
And appeals are permitted from the Special Criminal Court. Would that go directly to the Supreme Court, or would it go to the Court of Appeal?
I believe it's the Court of Appeal where it will go first. And obviously, if there's guilty verdicts, they will have to have specific grounds on which they want to challenge those guilty verdicts. So that is all open to us in the future. But there's so many facets still to play out. We know that the judges have signified April 17th. So that's quite a while from today as the date for their judgment. So they have so much to pour over and so much to try and tease out with the case that we have quite a while to go before we see that. But it's absolutely fascinating, just because, especially when Gretton made the point that, and he was very keen to point out that he wasn't making any concessions on his client's behalf, but even what's said on the tapes could implicate Jared Hutch in criminality. There's talk about the yokes. There's talk about various different aspects. But he said that Hutch is charged with murder. He's not charged with any other offence.
Yes.
So it's that very specific charge that the prosecution has sought to prove his guilt on that will be the one that's judged. So even if there's references that Jonathan Dowdle also makes to various forms of criminality, that's not the central plank. It's whether or not Hutch is guilty of murder. And yes, it'll be very interesting to see where they fall on that.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Now, Fiona Murphy made the closing speech for the prosecution, Sean. What was the thrust of what you had to say?
She said that, well, first of all, as I've said before, she said that Jared Hutch was one of the two men who was disguised in tactical gear who shot David Bourne in the Regency in what she called a brutal and callous execution, and he should be convicted of murder. She pointed
Is there any evidence for that assertion?
The evidence for that assertion is what Jonathan Dowdle had to say. Jonathan Dowdle says that he met the monk in a park, and the monk told him that he was one of the men who shot Bourne. And she obviously addressed the elephant of the room in the room, as it were, of Dowdle's credibility, given his previous conviction for a brutal assault on a man.
She said he waterboarded somebody with his father, didn't he?
Yeah, and they kept a recording of it on a USB stick, which the Gardaí found. They weren't even looking for it. They didn't know that this offence had occurred. They just happened to find it in a search of his house. And Fiona Murphy said there's no two ways about it, that he was convicted for a very serious, what she called disgusting offence. She said he's a man who admits he told lies in the past, and it's obviously fair that that's not going to endear him to the court, but that doesn't mean that you can't believe him now, is what she said.
And we should just point out, and it's remiss of me that we haven't, to our listeners, that Jonathan Dowdle has applied to go into the witness protection program. It hasn't been established yet whether or not the guards will accept him into that program, but that's a very serious issue that's hanging around.
Absolutely. It's obviously a life-changing thing for him and his family. He's already served a lengthy prison sentence for the waterboarding incident. He's currently serving time as well, because he actually could have been in the dock with Jared Hutch in a different reality, because he was also charged with David Bourne's murder. But when he switched to give state's evidence, he also pleaded guilty to a lesser charge. And we've mentioned that already of booking the hotel room that was used the night before the murder. And when he serves that sentence, if he's judged eligible or approved for the witness protection program, him and his family will obviously be going to a different part of the country, the world. We don't know where as of yet. Fiona Murphy made the point that when he was given evidence, she said he was a broken man, and he was every inch the man who had engaged in this bad behavior, but he was now giving evidence, and he was expressing shame for what he'd done. It, like, even though all of his past actions, she said it didn't erase what's said in the audio, and it didn't erase what he's saying now in terms of his evidence about meeting Hutch in the park and that confession.
And that's, in a nutshell, what had to be proved by the prosecution, but proved beyond reasonable doubt. And I suppose, you know, Brendan Graham, defense counsel for Jerry Hutch, would argue that nothing has been proved beyond a reasonable doubt, given that Jonathan Dowdle spent 8 days in the witness box.
Yeah, Brendan Graham spent 2 hours, roughly 2 hours, putting forth his closing statement. And he was very clear that what's said on the audio, while they're discussing general criminality in various ways, that can't be read as proof of Hutch's involvement in the murder of Bourne beyond a reasonable doubt. He said all the roads in this case lead back to Jonathan Dowdle. And he said that the prosecution case stands or falls on whether the court can believe the evidence of what Dowdle is giving. Obviously, Jared Hutch didn't take the stand himself in this case, but Gretton addressed that. He said the accused is presumed innocent. There's no onus on him to prove anything. It's all up to the prosecution to prove beyond reasonable doubt that he's guilty. And what he said was that the prosecution, having got Dowdle's evidence at a very late stage in proceedings, just to reiterate, Dowdle turned state's evidence in September, and the trial started in October. So it was at a very late stage that Dowdle entered proceedings, as it were, and his evidence would be aired. So what Gretton alleged is that the prosecution tried to marry the audio and Dowdle together. And what he said was, two bad halves don't necessarily make a whole.
Yes. And just to wrap up for the moment, Sean, the putative verdict on April 17th, Justice Tara Burns did say if they had a verdict earlier than that, they would, of course, announce it. It seems highly likely that there would be an appeal. And the Special Criminal Court has always been divisive. And, you know, many people question if you should have such trials without juries, really effectively run by the state. It's a very important case for the Special Criminal Court, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's huge. It's one of the most brutal and callous murders that the state has seen in a very long time. Obviously, the Regency Hotel was an infamous, horrific event, and it precipitated a vicious and bloody feud that followed afterwards,
in which 18 other lives were taken.
Absolutely, and it's. On that alone, it's a crucial case for the state. But then, as you say, because of the Special Criminal Court, because of the spotlight that's been on it for so long, because of the nature of how cases are run, it's crucial. And the judges are giving themselves quite a bit of time to go away and make the decision. They're obviously not going to rush their decision. But we heard evidence for 52 days. It could be longer than that before we hear the verdict. I think it's very interesting, and the actual judgment, when it's delivered, will be poured over quite a bit when we finally establish the verdict in the case.
Okay, Sean, we're very grateful to you for guiding us through the case. Sean Murray is a correspondent with the Irish Examiner, and like so many Examiner journalists, he's outstanding, and we're very grateful to Sean. To all of you for listening, that's all we have time for now. We'll talk to you soon.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned, We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.